This morning, shall we turn to Matthew chapter 22, the Gospel of Matthew chapter 22. Matthew chapter 22. We'll read from verse 1 to 14, then we pick out our subject this morning. And Jesus answered and spake unto them again by parables and said, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a certain king which made a marriage for his son, and sent forth his servant to call them that were bidden to the wedding, and they would not come. Again, he sent forth other servants, saying, tell them which are bidden, behold, I have prepared my dinner, my oxen and my fatlings are killed, and all things are ready. Come unto the marriage. But they made light of it, and went their ways, one to his farm, another to his merchandise. And the remnant took his servant, and entreated them spitefully, and slew them. But when the king heard thereof, he was wroth, and he sent forth his armies, and destroyed those murderers, and burned up their city. Then said he to his servant, the wedding is ready, but they which were bidden were not worthy. Go ye therefore into the highways, and as many as ye shall find, bid to the marriage. So those servants went out into the highways and gathered together all as many as they found, both bad and good, and the wedding was furnished with guests. And when the king came in to see the guests, he saw there a man which had not on a wedding garment, and said unto him, friend, how comest thou in hither, not having a wedding garment? And he was speechless. Then said the king to the servant, bind him hand and foot, and take him away, and cast him into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen. This morning, I want us to look at the subject of making light of Christ or the gospel. And that we have that verse from, but they made light of it and went their ways. You know, the account we just read, the parable Jesus Christ told, those around him at that time. And it's a parable. You know, the parables are always told by Christ to teach a spiritual lesson. So he will use, sometimes life situations, sometimes some wise saying. Then out of it, then he's teaching something spiritual. So we are not going to consider the parable verse by verse, but we are concentrating on making light of the gospel. The fifth verse that, but they made light of it. The account of pain is fire and sample in Matthew chapter 22. You share verse 5 on the original. So, say, Mesima, we can also call new food, we should call a cotton. So that's what we are going to look this morning. So the sense of the parable is that how the gospel is unwelcome by many. Who hear it after many invitations are sent to them. You know, the gospel is to be preached, and then whoever hears it must believe it. We will look at what it is. You know, the gospel is the message that the God of all creation, the Father of love, the Father of all mercies, when he saw the ruin of man in the Garden of Eden, when he saw that Adam has transgressed against him, he has disobeyed him by taking, stealing his fruit that he did not tell him to take, then in mercy, when he came down, he gave us a sacrifice for sin through the blood of his own son. And that, as in the ages before, they represent by sacrifice of animals and other things. But when Christ came, Christ also told the disciples they should go out and teach all nations the gospel. And what is the gospel? The gospel is that Christ has come. Christ has come to die on the cross of Calvary to shed his blood for sinners such as us, each one of us. Christ has come and shed his blood on the cross of Calvary. And we are to believe on him if we want our sins to be forgiven us. We have to repent and come to him and look upon the work that Christ did. And this is the message of the gospel, that we are sinners Everyone is a sinner. Nobody can doubt, that he's not a sinner. So when we hear the gospel, then we run to Christ and then we embrace his truth that he died for my sin. Then I rest my hope on him and God forgives me of my sin and bring me back to himself. So this is the message of gospel. So, but many hear this, though sinners we all are, and yet will not give heed to it. I say, in St. Paul said, So this is what the gospel is about, and it's about us that we come to him and receive it for our souls. So this parable is teaching us that Jesus Christ himself in his lifetime, he has been preaching the same gospel, but many of his own people never received it. So often he will use a parable to remind them of their disobedience. Use the parable to remind them that they have to come to him for their salvation. If you look at verse 7, he also told them that there will be a punishment for those who reject it. Because he said that, but when the king heard thereof, he was wroth, that the people have despised his word, and he sent for his armies and destroyed those murderers and burned their city. He hints a judgment for those who reject the gospel. Because God has been so good, and he has sent his gospel to redeem us in the realm of sin, in the destruction of sin, and yet many of us will not come to him. Then he also hints that there will be a judgment day when those who have despised the gospel, who have despised his mercy, be judged. So he said that they want to destroy them. It's just a figurative expression he used there. So we see that the Jews were guilty of this rejection and despise of the making light of the gospel of Christ. Yet many in our times are no different from the Jews. Many in our time are no different from Jews who rejected the gospel of Christ. If you look at the verse 15, you see, when the Pharisees even have heard what Christ has told them in the parable, then went the Pharisees and took counsel how they might entangle him in his talk. After he has warned them about the gospel, they went about to find a means to catch him. They don't care about it. So it is with many of us today. We care less about what sin will do to us at the day of judgment. On the street, when we go out from the station, we ask people, you see people are so careless, but when you remind them that there's going to be a day of that judgment, they seem to be alarmed. And are you prepared? They'll say, well, then they are sometimes confused. You know, if we hear the gospel, we have to commit ourselves unto. So this is what we are going to look up this morning. They here can say, in some panel, or say, yeah, tia, yeah, dear, human, yes, you're GD. If you say, yes, Christo, the parable, or share, say, Omo, yes, so much, and go from Umbra, our national Mamban, or say, or Henry Suman, as you have from Umbu, she or Kroon, Kumumunia, Neka, yeah, I did just also, or they share, say, Omo, I bet put in some panel, say, I'm over band of one or a job, and Rebbe Dua, a bet Piamaso, almost Omo, I think. Let me tell you a story of a man. An old preacher said this. He said that this man taught himself that for him he would never hear any preaching in the church. So he only goes to the church to enjoy the hymns. So he will sit there, enjoy the hymns. When the preaching begins, then he put his hands in between his ears. And God is so merciful. The preacher got to a point, he said that, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. And there was a fly passing by. So the man removed his hands. And then he heard that word. And it convicted him. He said, God, you know we are so stubborn, yet God is always merciful to us. So you see that how merciful the king sends servants oftentimes to the people. It tells how God is still merciful with us. So long as we have life to hear the gospel, we have to attend to them, for it is about our life, it's about death if we reject it. So, our first thing we want to look at this morning is what it is meant by making light of the gospel. So, your castle will be after two in Sampano, in making light of the gospel, we make light of the grace and goodness of God. So, your sister in Sampano, which is a gem, one fine year, and your pony, papa, and then Nadum, sanity. The king who made the marriage in the parable is representing our God, our Heavenly Father, God of all creation, and who, as I said, sends forth his Son into the world. As John 3:16 said that, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God so loved the world. Yes, we can think of the general love of God. He gave us the Son, he rained on us, he gave us breath and life and everything. That's the general goodness of God. But specifically, God wants us to have a special goodness, which is salvation for our souls. Nyakupon, why Papa be reminded? Yes, he said, wow, Sempano Kono. I said, Nyakupon, Nayemiye, Nenadum, Papuano. If we say, yes, Yahoo, Papa, my idea, or boy, we are my, or tunes you my, or yeah, you bring the my, or swear a boom, any other name, boom. And quite any idea, a year, didn't soon call, said, will be out to me. I know, pet, no way, and I didn't want to be out. So, since God was also gracious, as Christ came to preach the gospel, if you go to the gospel, he said that he himself began to preach the gospel. He said that, repent ye therefore and believe the gospel. Many people have also come, the apostles did, and many preachers have been doing that. And I'm sure in this church, many of us who have been hearing the gospel often being preached every Sunday morning. And we should ask ourselves, have we also believed? Have you also gone to God and asked him to save us, that we want to trust in Christ, that we want our sins to be forgiven us, we want the blood of Christ to cleanse us from our sin? It's a question we ought to ask ourselves. Have we also believed it? Because, as I said, if we don't, we also despise the goodness and the mercy of God. Here can I say, yes, since I'm part of my account, I say, Christ will be my one. He said, dear Rebbe, to know, so I don't know about my own point here, and I'm the mood of Shegu and the Sunu. Yeah, I'm sorry, hey, and the baby, Sandy and the baby, I can't, and Sampan was him. Here can I say, now, yes, we are by him, yes, we are Jedia now. You're going to go on chain, at the apostle, and so on, fire one in chair now, or excuse to any mood of Shegu and now. See, I guess I also, you're going to go on it, not going in it, and I am, you know. If you say yes, so yeah, so then. And you know the general outlook. The general reaction to the gospel is this regard. The whole world. I mean, not only those of us here. The general response of the whole world is disregard to whatever God has told us in His gospel. Many people despise it. So we should ask ourselves: have you also despised it? Yen be say I must say don't the banana be bra for no yes you have one see I'm for that means or see yes you have radio for your question so for one in chain. So the second thing also to look at what it meant to make light of the gospel is that making light of the gospel you make light of the nature and the work of Christ. Yes, it's a opo and some panel one fire here. Christo basically Christo tier and a juma Christo be yeah and my one here for no up when also. When I despise the gospel message, I despise Christ. Who is Christ? Christ, you know, Christ was God who came. He's the very God who is a pure, merciful God himself who came and took upon himself our nature. Yet without sin, undefiled, harmless, and separate from sinners. Let's think of ourselves. If I have a friend and I was in the dying need and he supported me, and I was able to get out of it, I'll always remember him. And I always want to be grateful to him in whatever means. But look at Christ himself. He left his glory, heaven, and to come to this earth, not to make anything, to suffer shame. He came to be born as a poor, in a poor family. He was born in a manger, in the fold of sheep. And he lived a poor life. All because, and he suffered the contempt of men. They insulted him, the carpenter's son and all that. And at the end, when he was going to be crucified, they mistreated him. And all of this, you and I, he did it not because for himself, but because of us. So whenever we despise the gospel, we despise such great work Christ has done. If, as I said, a friend has done so good to me, will I despise him? I will never despise him. I'm the most wicked person. So it is that if we neglect to also hear the gospel and come to Christ and ask God to save us by it, we are also despising that the work that Christ came to do. You know, today many people are saying it's Palm Sunday. We're not taking branches to churches and all that to represent the Hosanna sinner store account. But ask yourself, how many people have given their heart to Christ? You know, there's a hymn that says that my sound is love unknown, my Savior's love to me. And another one says that those who sing his Hosanna, they crucified him. Whenever I hear the gospel of Christ and I don't give my heart and commit myself and think about it for my soul, I'm not different from those who crucified him on the cross. They rejected him. They despised whatever work he came to do. They can say, they probably brave. Say, I said, in there, Palm Sunday, so, Jinahoma, Emrah is supposed to now, over Jerusalem, normal day, I bet branches, they go from no far, so buy them. Now, but, when you say, Omoa, Fonkwa, no, so, Hosanna, Omoa, na, sounds so born, assembly. And they can say, Yasu, and Sampano, say, you're sitting here for a home, Master, yes, it's uncle for Omoa. If I bring that way, Hosanna, I saw them one day, no, I'm going to come, I'm going to come. God doesn't need anything from us. He needs our heart. He needs our mind. He needs to rule over. That's where rulership comes. Satan, if you want to rule over us, if sin wants to rule over us, it's from the mind, the thought, and the intent. Not the actions. Actions are when you are already thought of it, you have already committed it. So let's think about that. And also, his death on the cross, he took the curse of the law. The work of Christ on the cross took the curse of the law. You know that whatever sin man commits must be punished by God. God is holy, holy. He cannot look upon sin. So that a sin has brought curse upon a human race. So that we can never do away with it. There's a hymn, it's in our hymn. We say that, extended on a cursed tree. Talking about Christ. Extended on a cursed tree. Besmeared with dust and sweat and blood. See there the King of glory see. Sinks and expires the Son of God. Christ was made, when they maltreated him, they spat on him, someone will slap him and ask him who did it. They will put a crown of thorn upon his head, and they put his cross upon his back, beating him up and down because of our sin. And they hang him upon the tree with sweat and blood. And yet you and I, how we despise such work that he has done for us. Each of us will think about it. They see the King of glory, King, the God of glory himself, hung on the cross for our sin. He expired the Son of God. And then it goes on and said that who my Savior days have done. Who could thy sacred body wound? No guilt thy spotless heart hath known. No guile hath in thy lips be found. He never sinned. Even Pilate said that I find no fault in him. At the judgment seat. And you and I, how do we despise such great man? How do we despise such a man, God, who became man like us? We look upon him and we despise his message. And yet, the hymn writer goes on and says that, and I wish each one of us, if we know that we have not gone to him for his salvation, will run and come to him and say, I alone have done this deed. With the hymn writer, may pen am I said, Bonia, ye di boy, and I say, men am I. Most of the people look at Christ's crucifixion and think generally, oh, he came to die for us. It's no. Look upon him as if all the sins that made him to be crucified, it was my sin. It was my lies. It was my envy. It was my hatred. It was my foolish talk. It was whatever I have done wrong. I alone have done this deed. Who could thy sacred body wound? Say, tis thy sacred flesh have torn. My sins have caused thee, Lord, to bleed. Pointed a nail and fixed the tongue. And also, when I think of my sin, I think about the nail that they bore in his hand, in his leg. If it was me, could I have borne that? And yet, the King of Glory came to bear all this for us because of our sin. He took the curse of the law. In Galatians, it says that, cursed every man that hangs upon the tree, that hangs upon the cross. You and I were supposed to be hanged upon the cross, but he came to hang there for us. He took our curse, the curse of sin. So when we run to him, then he forgives our sin. The curse of sin is taken away. We are free. We are at liberty. God is now at peace with us. So we look at another aspect. We make light of it, what it meant. In making light of the gospel, we make light of its benefits. You know, the gospel is not just believed and that is all. There are benefits that comes from a spiritual benefit. There's no itself in Sampano, You know, the gospel, after it promises pardon, you know how the pardon is? Not for our current sin, for our past sins and our future. Somebody says, oh, I'll stop sin. If you stop sin, if you're able to even stop sin today, what about your past sins? How is it going to be taken away? Is my stopping sin today going to cancel my past sins? No, even in this world, if I do something wrong, I'm taken to the law court. Even if I begin to do things good, they will still judge me for what I've done wrong. So, if I don't come to Him to trust in Him for His gospel, then I'm despising such a benefit, which will also not only take away my sin, but also the future hellfire judgment that will be coming, that He will take me from it. I despise that. You know, the gospel also promises the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, that when I come and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and my sins are forgiven me, God will send His Holy Spirit to come and live in my heart. Then I'll become His child. Without the Holy Spirit indwelling in my heart, I can't become a child of God. Because the Holy Spirit, that will guide me and sanctify me to be more holy. So the Bible said that God is holy. Be you holy, for I am holy. How can I be holy? By our natural constitute, we can never be holy people. Unless God Himself give us His Holy Spirit to come and sanctify us, to forgive us, to cleanse us of our sins, and also to fight our soul's enemies. Sin, the power of our sin, the power of our so-called witches, demons, whatever, and also the attractions of the world. It is only the indwelling of the Holy Spirit that can give us power over all these things. The can say, Bosha, a war in St. Panamu, a binus, a bonifache, and a bonifree, so the bonifache, and Nekas said, what's your me job one in there? Obonia, why in Yan's way? Indeed, so I won Yan, I'll say, punish you, Nemo. In St. Pano, Saudidia, a pass up one in here, and name upon some demo at the Homaya or say India that you see a convicted at the Boya Point. In the case, I also a shop or say, Susan Conrad by trying. Now, just say, yes, we are just asked and pay it, you know, so go on to my trying. And I bet now your mumma, my crowd, actually, my uncle point to me at a bank, if you have a crown from. Now say, who are your crown point to me, Ben and Coupon? Near source of a train, Munsua, or ma. A town for a putia, a crown, or Bonsam, Bonini, we are saying, made this one. So that is how it is with that. It also promises a right to everlasting glory when this life is ended. When we have come to the end of this life, the gospel also promises, the gospel, you see, it doesn't just save us and also keeps us here, it also gives us a future bliss, a promise of a life in eternity where we will live forever with God. So if I despise the gospel, I despise the future glory for my life. I despise to live in future hope. Where there will be everlasting life. So in John chapter 1, verse 5, 11 to 12, the Bible says that, and this is the record that God had given to us, eternal life, and this life is in His Son. And he that had not the Son had the Son had life, and he that had not the Son of God had not life. So how can I have the Son of God unless I believe what the gospel teaches me? What the gospel proposes to me, what the gospel invites me into. So if I despise the gospel, I despise the Son, then I can never have life. Yes, you can have life to live in this world, but you can never have eternal life, which spiritual life, which after death, it will transport you to heaven. That is what we are talking about. This is the Yapo in Sempanoa, down to Yapo. If you said, in Sempanoa, they Yapo. And I don't think any one of us here dislike heaven. Again, when we go to the street to teach people to preach the gospel, you ask somebody, do you want to go to heaven? Oh, yes. Nobody wants to say that I don't want to go to heaven. And you ask them questions, then how are you preparing them? They don't know what they are doing. But I'm sure you and I, we know the gospel. We can come to Christ. We can come repenting, and you forgive us. And then we shall be saved. So the question to each one of us, have we also repented of our sins? If we want eternal glory, have we also considered the gospel? Have we pondered over it? Have we thought of it? Have we thought of its blessings and benefits that if we despise it for our own soul, we also despise our things? If we despise the right to heaven, then we make ourselves double candidate for hell. You know that there are two places after death. So there's no middle ground. There are others who teach you, oh, the spirit will go to somewhere to be purified. No. There are only two places after death, hell or heaven. Even since the great judgment has not come, yet even if people die, the godly and ungodly, they go to separate places. Remember the parable of Lazarus and the rich man, which is just right, told us in Luke. When the rich man, I mean, not that because he was rich, but because he didn't, I mean, give regard to Christ and his gospel, he was taken to hell. Immediately he closed his eyes, he was in hell. But Lazarus, because he trusted in Christ, immediately that he was taken to Abraham's bosom, a picture of the paradise for those who have given their lives to Christ. So see that, as for me to be supported in this life and beyond, is my faith in Christ, which the gospel proposes. So now let's look at this. How do people make light of the gospel? We have looked at what it is to make light of the gospel and how do they make it. This, we go deeper into specifics. One thing is to regularly hear the gospel and pay no attention at all. You know, many people, when they hear the gospel, they give absent attention. Some can even sleep under it when the gospel is being told. But let me tell you, at my workplace, often there's a fire alarm, a sensor, and it will blow, and everybody will run in. It's a four story. By the time you get to the third or the second or the third, the stairs are already full. Everybody's running. Sometimes just a drill. But who never knew? Whoever knows it was a real fire? We all have to come out to an assembly outside. Everybody wants to save his life. But the gospel warns us about people who are sinners, unbelievers, running their life to hell. Hellfire, but nobody thinks about it. Most people think that, oh, it's future, so may God will determine. No. If we run because of just temporal fire, we must run doubly when it comes to the gospel, to Christ. Because the gospel sounds the alarm. Remember the Noah account you just read? Those who went into the ark, the day God himself closed the door of the ark, he closed it, rain fell, and the water spread all the earth, and the life of animals and people died. Okay, many also, we listen to the gospel as if, it's like, when you want a child to sleep, you sing of a lullaby, and it's like some story in their ear. But as I said, if you think of your sin and where it is taking you, you will never play with the gospel message of Christ. God knows that if we should go on with our unbelief and in our sin, it will end us in hell. So we should be warned about that. Many hear the gospel with one ear and it passes through the other. Before the sermon get to the end, they have listened to nothing at all. It's like you put a basket and you pour water into it. The air can say, "Bimusu ti in sempano." Woman no what is a magwana order. But if you are about to me, I can remember the prayer under. And I will be so more. What is a panua? Nana your crown punico. As if sir, you're to be a channel. And the case, and I say, a jack air bar will be a journey. Now, because my juman crown, the alarm be a bar will be a journey. If you say, we are to say, a jabashin. The case, young king, your tins, and my young king say, a jar air bar. A jar, it's not affable. And yet, a jacket car, a beshi, a nippy, a jar, a beckon, a crab, and a nippy, and in your album. So that we must know that it's a great sin if we despise God in whatever form. When we despise the gospel, we have despised God. So it's a great sin. I mean, if we despise God in any other form. So also, another way people also despise the gospel is that some people might hear the gospel and touch their sin. They feel so convicted. Sometimes they will even weep over their sin. But just for some time, then all is gone and they go back to their sins again. Temporarily, they go back to their sins again. They can even say things and find no more ground. Oh, I same way they are born in or same jai. No, they wrote, would you cross him? And I said, I could do me beer or yeah, of course, why do baby have a no chance, not a 12th one morning. They can say, no, so a pine of a photo at the But if you're crying for your sin, if your conviction for your sin were genuine, you must run to Christ. Who can take away that sin from there? If I'm sorrowful for my sin and I keep it, if there's a wound on my leg and I cry about it and I don't do anything about it, and my leg got rotten, it's going to be amputated, who have caused the harm? I have done it myself. It's the same thing. The gospel teaches us that we should run to Christ and confess our sin, and repent of sin, and trust in his shed blood. But Most of us, many people will think we just hear the gospel. Several times they will pray about it and, oh, I'm a sinner. And then they go back to their sin again. That is not repentance. Repentance is repenting of sin and moving to Christ and to asking for his forgiveness for our sins. Another way people also describe the gospel is that to believe the gospel in their head but not submit their heart to it. This is a very common thing nowadays. Oh, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou art saved. And yes, I believe it. But their heart is far away from God. God is interested in our heart, not in anything else. Even in the Old Testament, when God, they were using symbols and images. You go to Isaiah chapter 1, you tell them that he doesn't want their sacrifices again. He doesn't want anything from them again, because their heart is far away from him. So you and I, we should also think about ourselves. So such people never truly believe. Their faith is no different from the faith of devils. In James, it says that the devil also believes, but he's not saved. Because, yes, he knows that Christ has come to die, but he will not submit his heart unto him. So you and I, if we will not submit our hearts to Christ, for him to rule over us, yes, we might know the gospel and say we have believed it. Until our lives are changed, we have submitted our heart unto him. Our faith, that is faith of devils. Such people, those who have the, believe in their head, they make outward show of religion. Yes, they will not, stop going to church. They will do many things. But then their true life is not changed. Changed life is a testimony that I have been saved. It's not my profession of being saved. It's my changed life. Okay, another way people also despise is that by a misconception of the true blessing of the gospel. The blessings of the gospel, the Bible has made it so clear in scripture. But many people think it's different than us, and that's what they seek after. They say, "If you must open some part, if you say, 'Oh my God, a share a fee in some part, move on,' and you're not a Bible tree." Some think that the gospel must help advance them with their worldly businesses and advantages. Oso mnyama mnyama, oso mnyama mnyama mwato. Brayesu for how mnyama beto. No, the Bible does not promise that. The gospel does never promises that. They will say, "Oh, You are the head, you are not the tail." No, the Bible does not promise that to anyone. Something that you must give them, it must give them good standing in their family. "Oh, I'm also a Christian. Oh, yes, I go to church. Oh, yes, I'm a Christian." Oh, then he can be trusted. Ebinso, if you said, or say, and Sempano, a man, if you are saying your cost of the business, or man, or a popular, or GD, or to two coin, or any breed, that I've been saying, Sempano, and Fasua, a woman, that year. Ebinso, if you say, then, "Oh, okay, of course, there will be papa." Now, as I've won, there will be open. Some also think that by partaking in baptism or the Lord's Supper, "Oh, I'm also saved. I'm saved from hell." No. Those things are things after the faith of the gospel, which you have to be obedient, the baptism and the Lord's Supper, you have to be part. But these things cannot take a speck of sin in our lives. No. There should be the blood of Christ applied to our cases. So they are like many in Christ's time, they who followed him for the bread and fish, but not Christ. You know, Christ, after he has done that great miracle for feeding 5,000 or others, the people came back following him again. He told them, "I know your heart. You are not following because of, what I can give to you for your soul, but because you people have eaten and you are satisfied and you want more bread again." And that, so whoever thinks that the gospel is to advance our worldly advantages, it's the same way. No, it's for our soul. All these false conceptions are not what Christ came to this world to die for. If this is what Christ would have come to this world to come and die. God generally is blessing. Go to the Arab nation, they hate Christ, but they are the most richest, countries now in the world. So the gospel is to us to save us from our sin and hell, and to make us eternally to live with him in heaven. All other things, as in Matthew chapter 6, says that other unbelievers also seek the well-being, our businesses, everything. Yes, we must seek our well-being and other things, but that is not what we are meant to live for. And the gospel is not for that. The profit of the gospel is for your soul, is to make your soul right, and it's not to make our life easy in this world. No. The gospel is not to make our life easy. Yes, God helps us and gives us many other things. But if you look at the life of a believer and unbeliever, sometimes the believer's life outwardly even, it's nothing to, I mean, it seems so difficult, with afflictions, with troubles. And yet that is not what the gospel, prepares the heart. It makes the believer, even if in affliction, be so joyful. That is the gospel. It's not that I should have the good things of the world and I should be happy and moving out. No, that's not the benefit of the gospel. The riches of Christ's redemption are spiritual, are not carnal. Yakupon, Christo, ne ojiena ojieno, e sun sumudi, e nye kone munyoma. And okre, so boy, I hope by or any more remind, but e nye no ne adia, ne ni waso. In Ephesians 1:7, the Bible says that in whom we have redemption through his blood, that is Christ, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. This is the riches of God's grace. Is the forgiveness of sin according to his blood. See, benya ojie, if you want him, and nam ni moja or the ma or the sea or my enemies. And only Christo ne Afinya or the Maya. Some people call this, oh, he was poor, he became poor so that we become rich, so that Christ, when he saves you, then become richer. No! The riches is spiritual riches. It's not worldly riches. Yes, Christians can be rich, but that is not what the gospel has made them to be. God can make anyone in this world to be a richer person. It doesn't matter whether you're a Christian or not. That's just the common blessing. So the gospel is the unsearchable riches of Christ. So when you believe in it for salvation, then you are spiritually rich. And the opposite is true. When I don't believe it, I'm spiritually poor. So that is the meaning of being rich and poor. When the Bible teaches us about that. But now there's many preaching, many teaching that goes on. Oh, come and believe on him. Oh, that is lies. Christ never promised that to anyone. Look at his disciples, Peter and the brother. They were fishermen. And they never became the richest people in Israel. They were still the most poor people and still the most persecuted, the most disregarded people ever in their lifetime. Christ himself was the son of a carpenter. He never changed to become the Caesar of the world. He was still the son of the carpenter until he died. So how can he, if he was like that, and he has taught us his salvation, how can we think of any other thing opposite? So those who teach us that the riches of Christ to make us riches in this world, they teach opposite of what the gospel teaches. And that's what the prosperity, the social gospel. No, that cannot save an ant to heaven. When we think that the blessing of the gospel is about making us better people in this world, physically and rich, and our health and everything being took together, we deceive ourselves. We will follow that and we will be lost in hell. Because that thing, even if we chase after those things, we shall never be complete in them. But come to Christ. Rest your hope on him, and you see the rich blessings. You see the graciousness of the mercy of God. That is what the gospel proposes to us. So I'll move on to my third point, and I'm getting to a close. Why do people make light of it? We have looked at what it is that people make light of it, and how people make light of it. We are looking at why do people make light of it. The people that were invited to the marriage, if you look at the parable, the marriage feast, were ignorant of the feast. They were ignorant of what the feast must be. They thought of it as just as any other feast. If it were not so, why would they excuse it to go and do any other business? They were ignorant of what it. Oh, they preconceived something in their mind what it should be. So it is with many today, because they don't understand why the Bible teaches that God only gives salvation through Christ, blood, Christ sacrifice on the cross. So they will not believe. Many will argue with as well. Those who think they are in another religion, they argue with, oh no, but there are so many ways to go to heaven. You who think you are so narrow-minded, you don't think outside the box, you are so single-mindedly. So you think that Christ alone. No. What can wash away sin? The issue is sin. If your religion can wash away sin before God, fine, so be it. But God, in his word, his reveal has taught us that it's only through the blood of Christ. So whatever ignorance you are, of this, put the ignorance aside and come to Christ, and Christ shall save you. Some are also careless about everything. Oh, when you talk to them about football, okay. They will say anything about it. Oh, everything is okay to them. When you talk to them about current and corruption in Ghana, oh, yeah. When you talk to them about religion, oh, yes, it's good to go to church and all that. They themselves will never say anything positive or negative. Everything is okay. So they apply that to the gospel. Oh, it's the blood of Christ that can wash you of your sin. Oh, yes, it's true. But they will never themselves commit themselves into it. So you see, because they are careless, because of ignorance of what it is that they can have from it. And also, another reason is that because of pride. Many also despise it because of what? Pride. Those that were invited again, I think they thought of themselves so high. They think, oh, I'm sure they would have attended if it were maybe the king himself. They thought, oh, the king's son. Oh, I'm not sure it's so much important. I mean, we are talking about dignities that may be better than the king's son. So let's think about ourselves. So many of us today also think of the gospel. The gospel is too plain. Oh, look, children can understand it and believe. Look, the poor people can understand and believe. Somebody might think, I'm so important, I'm so knowledgeable. I have learned philosophy, I've learned so many things. Why should you tell me of the gospel that children can understand? If it is anything better, why would the children also understand? Look, in the world of knowledge, bigger things are for bigger brains. That's what somebody will tell you. So many people, if you go to the institution of high learning, they will despise the gospel. It's so plain, it's nothing. It's not if I don't know my brain, so I'm a poor in St. Paul, I'm from Australia. If you say, so, and St. Paul, I crack little gratias here. I crack little gratias, I'm hearing you to me, Didi. I mean, find it. So, like the pride also takes them away. So they want exclusive knowledge. Knowledge, so it has led many to many mysticism. Many people tell us, yeah, they believe in the Bible and all that, but they want higher knowledge. They will join so many societies thinking that they have a higher knowledge. No, the gospel is plain. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. It's simple as that. And if I faithfully come to Christ and do that, he will save me. Whether I'm a child, a poor, rich, whatever, I'll be saved. Then another thing, the other reason is that because they felt self-sufficient. They thought they had enough. Then also, oh, what food are we going to eat over there? Mm-hmm. I think, oh, I don't need anything. So let's just let it go. So many of us also today, thinking that we are not all too sinful. After all, I'm not all too bad. I do some bad things here and there, but I'm trying to amend. And I'm sure God will not be too strict as the preacher is saying. Oh, God will understand. And by it, so why should I believe the gospel? Why should I believe the gospel? The gospel is for sinners. Some will say that, oh, tell the gospel to the prostitute, to the drunkards, to the fornicators. They need it. But for us, oh, we are good persons. We go to church on the Lord's Day, we support the church work. Oh, and when the heaven doors are open, we are sure to enter it. Such a deception. Such a deception. Thinking that we are enough, we have enough. Whoever thinks this way for his salvation, that he's self-sufficient of himself, so he will escape hell, is rather making himself a double candidate for hell. Thinking that hell is for murderers. No, hell is for everyone with any sin on himself at the day of judgment. If you are every sin will take a man, any sin can take a man to hell. A preacher once said, thinking to go to heaven with your own righteousness, it's like thinking of going to the Atlantic, flying the Atlantic Ocean with a paper boot. How can it be possible? It's like building castle in the air. I want to go to heaven with my self-righteousness. It will be like an empty dream that I'm thinking of it. So, in Galatians 2:16, the Bible tells us that, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ, and not by the works of the law, for by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. God looks upon the blood of Christ alone for justification. Because none of us can fully obey the law. Yes, none of us. If you go to none of us. So in coming to conclusion, we should remember that if each one of us here, if we have also not repented of our own sin and rested our hopes of salvation on Jesus Christ, then we have also despised the mercy of God, and we have also despised the mercy of God against our own souls. Then we also are despising it. Like these people, one to his farm, one to his merchandise. We also are having something upon ourselves that we think is very wise. Many of us, sometimes we come to church, we sit in the gospel, we look upon, the way that is coming, yet our mind is off over somewhere, the business maybe, we didn't finish and all that. It's a despise to the word of God. It's a despise to the gospel. God wants our mind, our heart. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. So that is it. If I hear the gospel. But the final thing is that if you look at verse 11 down, there was one person who went to the marriage with his own, garment. I'm sure those who, they prescribed a kind of attire for them. But he went there with his own attire. But look at the surprise that happened to him. And verse 11 down, and when the king came in to see the guests, he saw there a man which had not on a wedding garment. And he said unto him, friend, how comest thou in here not having a wedding garment? And he was speechless. Then said the king to the servant, bind him hand and foot and take him away and cast him into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Such will be the end of those who deceive themselves of being saved. Why they are not saved? So, the day of judgment, I appear. And God is saying, where is the righteousness that you have, which is of Christ? I come with my own righteousness. And Christ will say, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. Mufi me sonko, mwa mwye mwye. If we say, me panwa obe wuye, obe bread in the crab to wano. Mwa fa nyakwe. Mwa sumi mfa mwa nyakwe. If we despise God by his gospel, he also despises at the day of judgment. Let me read to you, he was a famous man, in the world of, science. He was called Sir James Young Simpson. Though he became converted, he was the first person to use chloroform as an anesthetic so that in operation they can inject it to you so that you sleep and they work on you. Before then, you have to do operation on people without any anesthetic so that physically you are feeling the pain, then they are operating on you. And he has so many achievements in the world. But when he found Christ on his deathbed, look at what he said. I have not lived so near to Christ as I should have liked. I have led a busy and active life and have not so much time to think about eternal things as I should have wished and should have sought. Yet I know it is not my merit that I am to trust to it for eternal life. Christ is all. So whatever, himself, if you check on him, in the world of science, he has a record of doing that. And all that he did, I read his autobiography, and on his deathbed, a lot of things happened. It was only Christ and his faith in God that shared him. When they come and visit him, then he'll be calling them to read out a portion of scripture. His main theme was, just as I am without one plea. And all the promises, because he was suffering. He suffered for a long time before he died. And nothing, all the education and all the accolades, nothing of them was able to support him. It was Christ alone. And I read till the day he died, it was Christ alone. And all that he said was Christ alone. Because see, when the pain comes, nothing in this world can suit us. But our hope in Christ that Christ died for me. And that even when I'm dying, is just waiting for me to pick me to the other side. That should be my hope. So friends, may the Lord help us and let us think through this. That if whenever we have heard the gospel, we should apply it to ourselves. We should go straight to Christ and ask him for his forgiveness. And ask God to help us. Repenting of our sin. Living off whatever things that hold us back. And trusting in Christ, for he will abundantly pardon. No matter how our sins have been, God is ever merciful, is ever good, is ever gracious to us.